It's a new episode of Jack Daniels Presents This Life Ain't For Everybody, the Breaking It Down edition, in association with Bad Boy Mowers. Power, performance, attitude.
I think that if you love sports, you owe it to yourself to go to spring training.
Grab your seats. Chad and Alex are back from spring training with bold predictions.
It's going to be a great season. I think the Dodgers obviously are going to be good. Mets just signed J.D. Martinez. That's a good pickup. Phillies should be pretty good. Chicago Cubs could be good. Brewers could be good again. Mariners could be good this year. Royals are even going to be a lot better than they have been. Rangers will probably be good again, I'm sure. Giants, they picked up some good players.
And expert analysis.
The game of baseball is so challenging. Mookie Betts and Shohei and Trout and Judge and you name it. The guys that are, you know, they're studs on every team. You're not in the major leagues if you can't hit or pitch.
This episode of This Life Ain't For Everybody, the Breaking It Down edition, is brought to you by Jack Daniels, Bad Boy Mowers and Tractors, American Almond Beef, The Provider, and Cowboy Choice Feeds. Now, let's play ball.
But baseball has marked the time, this game. It reminds us of all that once was good. And it could be again.
Did you hear that clap? I clapped a lot in Arizona. A lot. Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't spring training the best?
It really is.
Did you have fun?
I had too much fun, I think.
When I never had too much fun.
I'm still thinking about it.
A guy told you that you looked like you had a rough go?
Yeah. He said, Monday, 10 a.m. meeting, he said, man, you look like you had a rough weekend.
A rough week, dude. A rough week. Yeah, but you cannot not do it there.
I wouldn't want to.
Yeah, but we could have maybe limited it a little more. Yeah, I don't know if it was that bad. I don't know. Like when you're in 85 degree weather for the first time in 7 months or so, and you're wearing shorts and you hear the ball hitting the bat and you see the stadiums, the aesthetics, the happy people. I mean, it was, you tend to have a couple beers.
There was this very pivotal moment where we had just met Bo Jackson and George Brett back in the batting cages and all the dudes hitting and just being around that and we're talking, hunting, all that stuff. It's like, you walk out of there and it was like, let's grab a beer. Like, you just experience something great. You don't say, hey, let's go get a coffee after that. It's like, let's get
a
beer.
But that was our first beer.
I know.
That was amazing, sitting there talking with George Brett and Bo Jackson. And Bo's getting ready to go in the Royals Hall of Fame.
Oh, the Bo?
Who was that, Charlie Blackman?
Yeah.
What did I say? Me and Bo are going turkey hunting next week or something?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And he goes, Bo, who's Bo? I go, Bo Jackson. He goes, oh, the Bo. That was pretty fun. Charlie's a stud, too.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of felt bad, though. Do you feel bad as a man when you walk into the stadium and Charlie's like, just come down, you'll see me. And we go down to the dugout and he's poking his head up like an ostrich over the top. Mm-hmm. He ain't going to walk out until he sees us. Then finally he sees us, comes down, tells the guys, the security, to let us in on the field. And we walk past 200 kids
waiting for his autograph.
One was pretty resilient, though. He snuck in with us like he was your son.
He wrote in John's pocket.
John's pocket.
Just hopped out there on the dirt and got his ball signed. Good for that. You know, that kid will be a CEO or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all the other kids were waiting back and a CEO or he'll be in prison. He saw the gate open and he
There's some that have done both.
Yeah.
But no, do you feel bad when all those kids are waiting for an autograph and we walk right by them all?
Not at all.
Because that's supposed to be their time.
It's our time.
It's hard to.
We're young at heart, dude.
We're young at heart.
Hey, they can go get autographs somebody else.
Just not Charlie that day.
Yeah, whatever.
Have you looked at the picture of us and Charlie?
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, that's a blower-upper.
But the one of us and Bo and George is pretty.
Is that your favorite?
Good too, man. I don't know. That one was cool. I enjoyed that. That time was a little bit more
personal.
Yeah, you know, like those guys don't want to talk about baseball or anything.
They didn't talk about baseball once.
They want to talk about hunting. And then, like, both of them pulling their phones out and, like, look at all these coyote kills. Look at this goose and, you know, hunt we did. Look at this duck hunt. Look at my buddy's ranch. It's like, yeah, it's just, it's way cooler.
To put it all in perspective, just go research Bo Jackson. I mean, when Bo was coming up, Bo was a rookie in 86, 87 with the Royals. I think he went to the Raiders in 88 or 89 because he re-entered the draft, if I remember right. Tampa Bay took him after he won the Heisman at Auburn. said, we're taking you first pick in the draft. He says, I won't go. Because you remember, they're the ones that flew him down to Tampa Bay and wined and dined him illegally, and he got kicked out by the NCAA. He was found ineligible for his senior year of baseball, and he was having a hell of a year. So he told them no. They did end up drafting him. He said, you're crazy. I ain't going. He said, but then after he got with the Royals, he was asked by his agent that the Raiders, I believe, were looking. The Raiders, hey, they're interested in you in football. Do you still want to give it a go? And he's like, yeah, I'll give it a go. And I think he had to get permission from the Royals. And then he went. So think about how old you were in 80. Let's just say 87. I'm 11 years old.
I was 7.
I'm 12 then. 87. 12. 11 or 12. Turning 12. We're just like weird kids at that time.
Yeah.
You're not even really serious about baseball. I mean, you could be serious. Like, I think Bryce Harper was real serious at age 12, yeah. But we were still wearing corduroys.
We were sliding into home in jeans.
Yeah, and stuff, you know. So we weren't really that mature at all to watch Bo Jackson's career. I was a huge fan. And I'd go down to Oakland and watch him play all the time when the Royals would come. Him, George, Brett Saberhagen, Frank White, UL Washington, Dan Quisenberry. I loved the Kansas City Royals back in the day. Mark Gubazaw. But my point is that it's like watching, if we were adults, like in our 30s, 40s watching him, we would have a much different recollection of what he was truly doing in sports.
Oh, yeah.
Is my point.
Said, we weren't mature enough to understand what he was doing. The guys that were in their 20s and 30s, watching Bo come up.
Yeah.
They knew.
Like
right?
A college baseball player at that time. High school baseball players were probably still a little immature to know what Bo was doing.
Right. Well, and think about how slow the information got to you back then. You know, there was no internet or any of that stuff.
No social media.
If you didn't watch. So in our area, we would only ever got to see him play the Giants or the A's because they didn't have.
There was no interleague play there either.
Right. And so
just the A's.
Only if you got to see him play or only if you heard it on the news or read it in the paper the day after it happened, you would know what kind of a game a guy like that had.
100%.
Whereas now you could watch it on your phone. You could watch him play every game. You can see everything. So yeah, that's what's kind of funny and almost, it's not sad, but you know, those guys, they did all that stuff in the dark age, air quotes, you know, they didn't have,
I don't think they'd have it any other way, except probably the money that Bo Jackson would make today.
Oh, he would have been.
Or George Brett being a 3-time batting champion and MVP in the World Series, World Series champion, playing for all 20 years at the same organization, he would have been made a mint.
What did Shohei just get, like $70 million for?
$700 million for 10 years.
Yeah. I mean, George Brett's a guy like that, dude. You know, he freaking.
Yeah, I don't know, because he didn't pitch, and they're saying that this guy's the best.
Maybe not $700 million, but he's hundreds of millions for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Barry Bonds made some good money. He was later in that career, but he was still a rookie the same time Bo was. None of these guys made anywhere near the amount of money that they're making. And that's part of evolution and how things change. I understand that, but it's almost like the military, man. It's like, give these guys some money. These guys built
they
sports.
Paved the way.
Yeah, they paved the way, and these guys paved the way in sports. And it's just a weird mindset to know that Ricky Henderson, who's one of the top 5 greatest baseball players of all time. Also, I want to say thank you to Ricky for the A's game down in Scottsdale. That game was fun, and the seats were amazing. And
that was, not to cut you off, but that was my first time at that stadium.
That stadium's nice.
Dude, I loved it. I liked the little food truck area. I liked the freaking, the whole setup of that stadium was legit.
Yeah, it was legit. The hospitality of these guys that took care of us down there. The first night we get down there, we're at dinner at Walker Buehler's house. That day was amazing. Let's see how the first day went. You get off the plane. We Ubered to Walker Buehler's house to drop our bags off because it was too early to check into our Airbnb. Mm-hmm. We go in. Walker gives me the code to his house. We go into his house. It's amazing how clean it was. This guy is completely organized and got his shit together. And I'm like, damn, he knew we were coming. He welcomes us with a freaking, you know, everything's perfect.
Extra maid service.
Just perfect. And we put our bags down, change real quick, and then we take Uber straight to the Dodgers complex because just happened to be, that wasn't even the plan. The plan was not to do that day. We were going to just go see a game at 1:00. But we land and we got to be at the Dodgers facility at 10:30 and he's throwing to live batters. And that was awesome to watch. He hit 97 miles an hour, throwing gash and sitting there talking to his agent, Chris. That was an awesome experience.
Really cool.
And then I get a call from George. We're standing there and George calls and says, hey, me and Bo are at the field. Get over here. Let's talk before I got to introduce Bo to the minor leaguers, or no, to the major leaguers. And we at like 1 or something. So as soon as Walker's done throwing, hug him, say bye, get a couple slime balls for my nephews, boom. Straight to surprise, which is like an hour. Everything's 45 minutes there.
God, that city's big.
And then get there and freaking Bo and George walk out and just, it's just like a smack talking deal and then straight into hunting stories, an hour sitting with them having a great time. Leave there, walk through the stadium, get a beer, celebrate seeing them, and then we go straight to Tampa Diablo, right? And went and watched the Angels game.
Mm-hmm.
That was our
good game.
That was our first few hours in Scottsdale.
Yeah.
And we didn't leave until Saturday night at 9:30. Imagine what happened between Tuesday morning and Saturday night.
I can't.
We were seeing 18 to 23, 24 innings of baseball a day.
Yeah. And driving 200 to 300 miles a day.
Yeah, we were on the gas. We were on the gas.
Our carbon footprint was big. But it was worth it. I was just talking to a buddy of mine, and he's like, that's how you have to do it. If you go to spring training.
Who would you talk to?
TJ. Remember, he met us one day
a couple of
years ago when he lived in Surprise.
Have you talked to DeRico about the trip?
No.
You haven't?
No. I've really been like in a little bit of a fog.
Do you want to see what we built off of it? You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll appreciate this. Can you see it? This is coming off of our first night. I hope everybody can hear this. Voiceover, pouring the new Louisville Slugger Traeger pellets into the Ironwood 885. Slow motion shot of the pellets. Putting the Traeger rub on some American Almond beef ribeyes. One of my buddy Brian Stamps, Grasslands Wagyu ribeyes. Putting the steak right onto the Traeger. Smoking it out right off of the Traeger onto the induction burner, 700 degrees. Reverse sear and getting that bark on each side of the steak, slicing it.
Wow.
Is that cool or what?
Are you allowed to use that at the end?
Yeah. Wow. 16 Ks from Bueller. 16 Ks in a game.
That's insane.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah.
It's pretty badass.
He's fun to talk to. His agent was fun to talk to.
Yeah, that podcast is going to be awesome.
Definitely a once-in-a-lifetime trip.
You think so?
Yeah. you haven't even got into the first night yet, dude, and I'm tired.
I know. The first night, I'm trying to remember what we did.
Yeah, we did that.
Yeah, that was the first night, dinner at Walker's house.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so after the Angels game, we go back to the Airbnb, get changed again, then we go to the supermarket, get some sides, and then over to Walker's. And when we dropped our luggage off, I had rubbed those steaks down like that. That was that putting that Traeger rub on them. And then went back, threw down on the steaks, scallops.
Shrimps,
prawns, and Brussels sprouts, artichokes, mushrooms, salad. What a dinner. And then we had a couple of our friends from Breakthrough Beverage and Jack Daniels come over and meet us. Just an unbelievable experience. And that was the first day. That everything we just said, from landing in Phoenix to the Uber rides to the games to George and Bo and Walker.
Would we have a 6 a.m. flight?
Yeah.
I think I got to the airport at 5:20.
Yeah, 6:50.
So I got up at 4 in the morning.
And went to bed at 4 in the morning.
I don't think we quite made it to 4 in the morning, but I think it was 1.
Yeah.
It was a long day.
Yeah, and it was fun.
Oh, dude, it was a whirlwind.
Yeah.
Think about packing all that into one day.
I don't think you can.
We saw the whole Angels game.
We saw the whole game. You even said it's just not normal that we push that hard.
Yeah. I mean, most people would never do that. They would have done Walker and George and said, well, I go watch a spring training baseball game. And I'm like, dude, we got to go. We hadn't been to Tempe Diablo in like 5 years. It was worth it. That's a good stadium, too.
God, it's beautiful. The most impressive stadium that I saw people-wise there was the Royals in Surprise that night, which we're going to talk about. But that last day in Scottsdale Stadium and the Giants, that had to be fire-coated way out of control.
Oh, yeah.
They said it was 11,000 people. I'm like, no, it's not.
No,
it's not.
They're standing everywhere.
There wasn't
but,
a
hey,
seat
you
gotta, in the house.
You gotta, what do they say? You got to make hay when the sun shines.
They're like, oh, yeah, we're getting as many people in here as we possibly can today.
I actually, and I don't if I'm skipping ahead, slap my hand, I enjoyed that breakout game
Robbie
that we
Snelling?
Went to last minute.
Oh, Robbie? Padres,
but even just,
Mariners, breakout, all the young guys. There's 17-year-olders playing.
All the young guys. So think if you live there, That was Saturday, right? So Saturday, it was $5 per ticket. So, you know, if you had a family or whatever, you and a few of your boys, you could go watch a game for $20. And all the prices of the food and everything were like down.
Yeah.
You know, it was like $5 hot dogs. And I didn't get a beer that day because I had had enough. But I mean, that was like, I thought about how cool would that be if you lived here?
Yeah.
I would go watch the breakout games, dude.
Yeah. And they don't have many of them, but that getting to see Robbie Snelling, if anybody's wondering who Robbie Snelling is, he's a first round draft pick of the San Diego Padres out of my alma mater, McQueen High School. Lefty. I mean, have you ever seen a kid built like that?
No, he's a freak.
He's a freak. Throwing 95 from the left side with an insane curveball, right? Slider, and changeup. He's 20.
Yeah.
Not even old enough to drink, and he's out there dealing. He'll start in San Antonio, double A, and he'll be in the show, I bet you, in a month and a half. That's my call. A month and a half, 2 months, he's in the show.
Really?
Yeah.
He definitely pitched well.
You got to have an unbelievable talent to pitch at that level to get people out. The way he was, because a guy would get a hit. There was three hits given up off of him. He pitched three shutout innings, or did they get one run? I don't remember if they got a run off him or not, but it was 7-0 or 7-1 when he came out of the game. He was only there for three innings. That would say it going into the regular season. He struck out five. He'd come back after he got a base hit off of him and strike the guy out on three pitches.
Yeah.
Those guys can hit so good and locate those guys can figure out the location of that ball so good in their bat speed and turn on it and hit the ball where it's pitched. Let the ball get deep, hit the ball where it's pitched. You think about what it takes to go to the major leagues if that's just a breakout game. And now you take him and he's facing Mookie Betts and Shohei and Trout and Judge and you name it. The guys that are, you know, they're studs on every team. You're not in the major leagues if you can't hit or pitch. But watching him pitch and being that dominant, he's that dominant against guys his age and younger. A couple guys were in their 23, 24 range. He's got to have something really special for them to talk about being in the major leagues this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to. Think about that Holiday kid on the Baltimore Orioles. He's right out of high school. You know, there's a guy that just made the Rangers. First year, he's up for player of the year last year, University of Florida. First year in pro baseball. He's a first-round draft pick or maybe first pick of the 2023 draft. Hasn't even been a year. That draft will happen in June this year. So he's 9-10 months since he's been drafted out of college. Bruce Bochy put him on the major league team. He had that good of a spring.
Wow.
So if you think about that, Robbie is being touted as a guy that, what does it take? Like, you go in there and face him right now, he's dominating. But think about how much better he has to be to dominate major league players.
Oh, yeah.
So that means he's got a roof and a ceiling that's just unbelievable.
When we were sitting there talking to Walker, he talks about scouting and knowing what to throw people. I think that's something that you get with some experience, you know? Not that you couldn't go watch film and stuff, but a 20-year-old kid, you know, is going to be intimidated already to be in the show, but to try and have that memory of what guys don't want to see and where to throw it and all that stuff. Think when that starts kicking in with him and, you know, he's got some experience, he's going to be insane.
Well, he was minor league pitcher of the year last year.
Yeah.
I mean, he's on the right track. His ceiling is high, but it just makes me wonder of like, if you get a hit off of you on the breakout game and you're that dominating, right? Robbie's throwing 95, but he gave up a hit or two. Does that mean that every major leaguer can hit him? No. Like, it's the game of baseball is so challenging. So challenging. For him to have the mental capacity to say, yeah, I'm ready to go to the show this year at 20, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's asking a lot. Like, that Holiday kid on the Baltimore Orioles, he was, for sure, he's going to be in the show to start the year. He didn't get it. They signed into double A. He's going to the minors to start. But he's 19 or 20. Hits from the left side. Great contact hitter. Has some pop. It just shows you what you have to be, but it's pretty honorable to be that young and have a shot at the major leagues. You know, Ken Griffey Jr. did that, went at 19 or 20, never left the show after he got up there. There's been several players to be in the show at 19 or 20, yeah. But it's staying there once you're there. I think Andrew Jones did it.
There was a couple 17-year-olds playing in that breakout game.
Yeah, one for the Mariners and one for the Padres.
Yeah.
The Padres catcher is 17. The story that was being told that day about how he was born in America. They sent him back to Cuba to get him national citizenship to be drafted so he didn't have to go to college or get a diploma at a high school in America, I think they said. He just needed to go get a citizenship in the Dominican Republic, and that's where he was drafted out of when he was 15 years old.
It's crazy.
And now he's 17, and he's going to be in – he made it to double A last year at 16.
Yeah, they said – 16, they projected him to be in the show at 2025, which so he'll be 18 years old playing in Major League Baseball, you know, playing in the show.
Now, can he last? Because he struck out that day. He was swinging at some bad pitches. He looked good behind the dish. Looked real good behind the dish. You know who looks really good behind the dish is this starting catcher. God, I can't think of his name. Let me get his name real quick. For UNR.
Oh, is he good?
Dude, have you not been to a game?
No.
Why do you not support local athletics?
I support him more than anybody, you know.
I don't really. Nevada baseball. Let me see if I can find his name. I don't know if I can or not. Dang it.
Is he a starter?
Yeah, I was hoping I'd be able to find the name. They had a lineup card on one of these, and I bet you it's in here. I'll find it. Bear with me.
Hang on.
Maybe I won't find it.
I got it.
You have a lineup card?
I got it.
Do you really?
It's loading.
Where'd you see their lineup card?
I'd Googled starting catcher for the Nevada, and it said 2024 roster.
He's almost got like a sidearm delivery.
You're saying a catcher.
Yeah, he's the catcher. He's a sidearm delivery from the behind the plate. And he freaking throws people out. He's projected to go second or third round next year. Top 3 round draft pick. So anyway, I can't find a line. Oh, here's one.
I'm working my way.
I found it.
I got Harvey. Jake Harvey.
Jake Harvey.
6'200".
Dude, this guy has got a cannon. But I was talking to my trainers today about this. The advantage that these athletes have today with state-of-the-art training, private training, systematic training, specialized training. I mean, these guys will leave and go play 100 games of travel ball, you know, hopefully not wearing themselves out. Their workouts are insane. Their nutritional programs. I mean, when we were playing baseball, all we hoped for, it wasn't windy.
Right.
We didn't train for shit.
Hope it wasn't too cold.
We didn't train for shit.
Yeah.
It's not even fair.
It's a different. It's
Take
a totally
me back
different thing.
And let me. I don't want to say I wish I was born now and growing up now. Like if I was born when I was, I'm so glad, happy that I came up when I did, and I'm so proud of where I'm at and where our families are. But dude, these athletes have it so good now.
Well, think about like your brother. Is your brother's injury as debilitating today as it was back then?
With state of the art
medicine and surgery and
I mean these
rehab.
Walker's coming back from his
second Tommy John, dude.
Yeah, second ulnar nerve replacement.
I mean,
or that tendon. They say it'll last 7 to 10 more years again. He can have another full career and sign a big contract with it. There's guys signing $7,500 million deals after second Tommy John.
Right. Look at would Bo Jackson's injury have been so bad today?
I don't know. That's a bad one.
Yeah, but dude, they do full-blown hip replacements.
I don't even
now
like
where you walk out of the hospital 6 hours later.
I don't even. You're probably right, but I don't even like thinking about that day. Cincinnati Bengals Raiders. Man, I remember that tackle, and he never came back again. Greatest of all time.
Yeah, I can picture that play, and I don't want to.
Oh, that guy.
Luckily, the cameras weren't that good back then either. If you were to see that now, they'd have 20 different angles of it. Just like the way that guys break their legs now and they show them over. It's brutal.
Brutal.
But
so
that's part of it.
Spring training as a whole. Ricky Henderson, thank you. Let's say our thank yous. Walker Buehler, thank you. Chris Todd, Breakthrough Beverage, thank you. Bo Jackson, George Brett, Bobby Witt Jr. stopping by and hanging and saying hello. Yeah. That was killer. He just signed a big contract with the Royals.
Who was the guy that said, let's go, Poppy?
Let's go, Poppy. That's a, oh God, I can't believe. Hold on. Don't tell me.
I'm looking.
Starting catcher for the Royals. He's been there forever.
Perez or something?
Yeah, Salvador Perez.
Salvador.
Let's go. He goes, gives a high five. He goes, let's go, Poppy. Thank you to Chris Glazier, Walker's agent. Hooked us up with the guys at the Angels. That was an amazing game. Thank you to Ricky Henderson and the A's, Will Clark and the Giants, Robbie Snelling, Charlie Blackman and the Rockies. Who else helped us out there?
Well, you haven't even got to the...
Tyler Farr.
I was going to say, the
thank
concert.
Thank you for the concert, the tickets, the passes. The hang after, that was a fun night. Hanging out with Tyler. If our guy walks into a bar.
Thank you to the two guys that drove us home from Payson, Arizona, because we were stranded there with no Uber.
You're bringing those guys back up, huh? What a trip. That's what movies are made out of.
I mean, I'm biased because I am a Giants fan, but the two games that we watched at their park were, I mean, it's easy to say.
Oh, thank you to Chris Wyman. I mean, Eric Wyman of Brown Forman and Jack Daniels.
I was just going to say, we got into that VIP lounge.
The Churro Lounge at Scottsdale Stadium.
And the Giants went down 10 to nothing in the first inning. And we thought it was over, but we stuck with them and they won 13 to 12. But that was
That lounge is a trip. That lounge is in right field and you don't even know there's a baseball game going on. You can't hear anything. It's just everybody's partying, eating, open bar, and you're like, turn the freaking music down so I can hear the ball hit the bat, the right. crack of the bat. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't even care about the – it's not for baseball out there.
Well, and if – so if you were going to spring training and that was the one game you were going to see, don't sit there.
No.
Because we had to go down, what, in the seventh and watch him finish that game out of that area.
And Will Clark's tickets he got us. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Those are six. Being right behind Matty Williams and he's standing on the dugout.
Isn't it funny? Thrill – there's no half-ass in it with Will, which is great.
Is he the man or what?
Yeah, he is the man.
How many times have we said that on here?
They'll understand if we say it a few more times. It is hard to describe how cool that dude is. And to think about him, dude, you talk about George Brett. George is a great guy too. They're all great. But when you think about the careers that those guys had and how they could easily not be great, you know, they could easily be in their positions with the team or at home and hanging out with their friends and not talking to people anymore and not being, you know, figureheads of sports and things like that. Shit, George could be retired right now if he wanted to. Will could be retired right now if he wanted to.
Do you think they really want to?
No, not at all. I think they love it. But I also think, you know, if you love baseball, is it really twisting your arm to go get dressed out again? You know, still have a mitt?
Their jobs are so plush, it's unreal.
Dude, still get a big wad of Big League Chew or a freaking handful of sunflower seeds and go watch a freaking stud, you know, athlete hit the ball and you give him tips?
George is almost 70 and Will just turned 60 and they're still loving it out there.
What about how they still all walk up to Bo Jackson to meet him like the superstar he is when they're superstars in their own right, dude?
Yeah, but yeah, that's the thing is that for them to be able to say hi to him, because they know how special of an athlete he was, even though they were way young when he was doing it. The Royals remind me. I mean, he's going into the Royals Hall of Fame.
Right.
He went last week or he's going this season for sure. I don't know when the actual induction is. It'll be at Kauffman Stadium, but that'd be cool to fly in for that. Go in.
It would be awesome. But I think that obviously there's a lot of ego involved when you're a professional athlete, professional anything. You know, when you're the top of your game, some of the, you know, those guys could easily maybe not necessarily turn their nose up at a guy that's, you know, retired or whatever, but they all respect the heck out of, dude. Same goes to Will Clark. Same goes to freaking George. You know, I imagine any of those guys that were worth a damn.
I love how much of a fan Will is of George.
Oh, yeah.
That's the coolest.
Yeah. They just recall a time when the game was different. It was all different.
Old Town Scottsdale, special place. God, there's a lot of money down there. But what was the bar we go to? The Rusted Root?
The Rusty Spur.
The Rusty Spur, cool little Western cowboy. It's a weird bar. It's a cover band in there. It's country feel to it, but I don't know if you would define that as a country bar.
No.
But that place was cool. Blonde.
It could be a little bit taller, a little bit longer.
A little bit bigger. They stuff them in there. Like, that's another fire capacity, fire code deal also.
Yeah.
The meals we had, I'd say that the steak night at Walker's was the best meal we had.
Hands down.
I don't think we ate that much.
We didn't eat very much at all. We had raw sushi that night, but it was 10 o'clock at night. It was just okay.
Did we eat out at any other? Oh, we ate breakfast at USA.
We had a couple good, and that other breakfast place, that ranch house. That was good.
That
USA, I thought, was good. We ate a lot of ballpark food.
We're going to break here for a few commercials. I'm fired up. I appreciate y'all being here.
Rubbing elbows with sports legends deserves to be celebrated the right way.
There was this very pivotal moment where we had just met Bo Jackson and George Brett back in the batting cages. You walk out there and it was like, let's grab a beer. Like, you just experienced something great. You don't say, hey, let's go get a coffee after that. It's
like, you're listening to Jack Daniels Presents This Life Ain't For Everybody in association with Bad Boy Mowers. Power, performance, attitude. Give your lawn a manicured cut worthy of a baseball field. Find them at badboycountry.com. The baseball talk has only begun. Keep it right here.
What's going on, everybody? Chad Belling coming at you. The Foul Life Podcast is proudly presented by the one and only Bad Boy Mowers out of the great state of Arkansas. Their zero-turn design and capability is zero to none. I've had these mowers everywhere from California to Georgia, from North Dakota to South Texas. We've put them in situations where they completely perform day in and day out with their power, the sharpness of the blades. Every single bit of that zero-turn capability gives you the advantage, gives you the confidence to get the job done. And now they have added tractors. Our tractors are doing projects for us on a daily basis. All of our duck properties, all of our different dwellings where we live, where we make our livings, we depend on the Bad Boy tractor to get the job done as well. And now you can depend on the Bad Boy Power in their new E-Series of hand tools. The blower, the trimmer, pull saw, the chainsaw, the backpack blower. We use these blowers in our goose and duck decoy trailers throughout the season, all over the country, blowing out debris, branches, mud, leaves, making sure that we are working in a well-manicured, clean environment is our goal, and that's why we have partnered and depend on Everything Bad Boy. Again, out of the state of Arkansas, their mowers are American-made. We depend on them. I hope you do, too. Next time you're in the market for anything that Bad Boy offers, I promise you, you can depend on them. Bad Boy Mowers, the presenting sponsor of Benelli's The Foul Life. Hey, everybody, you know we are a huge fan of Jack Daniel's, not just their product, but their mission, their culture, Lynchburg, Tennessee, the people. And we want to introduce you to the Jack Daniel's Single Barrel Program. Join us at jackdaniels.com and learn about the Single Barrel Program, visiting Lynchburg, Tennessee, participating in a barrel tasting, a whiskey tasting, picking your favorite flavor, whether it's the burn in your mouth, whether it's the maple, whether it's the different combination of flavors that you are going to experience in each of the distinct bottles of Jack Daniel's Single Barrel. You're going to be able to choose the best one, your favorite one, and purchase that entire barrel. It all comes bottled in individual single barrel bottles. You get your own hanging name tag, brand tag, your logo on it. You can give them away as gifts. Go knock on the door of a landowner and say, thank you for letting me hunt your field. There's so many options with the Jack Daniel's Single Barrel Program. We're proud to be part of it. We have introduced it to so many of our friends and family across the country, whether it was at a business, whether it was at a duck lodge, whether it was at a conservation event. It is truly an awesome program. Learn more about it at jackdaniels.com. The Single Barrel Program. We've been involved for the last 5 years. I'm looking at two of my barrels right now. We just got our 2023 barrel in the single barrel rye. Absolutely mesmerizing. My brother Clint's old fashions with it speak for themselves. It's the Jack Daniel's Single Barrel Program. Check it out. Learn about it. I hope you decide to visit Lynchburg, Tennessee and get your own barrel. Thank you very much.
Looking for a high-quality truck accessory that's built to last? Look no further than Lear. With over 50 years of experience in the industry, these guys know what it takes to make your ride look and perform its best. Whether you're looking for a fiberglass or aluminum cap, a hard or soft cover, or accessories to customize your truck, Lear's got you covered. Their products are made with only the best materials, and their innovative features provide added convenience and security for truck owners. Head over to Lear.com to explore their range of products and take your driving experience to the next level.
Vision. I just had a lens retraction surgery last year. It's pretty much like cataracts that you're going to get in your 60s, 70s. Everybody's going to get it. Once you get it, your vision is there. It's never changing. Artificial lenses. I had it at 40s, and I'm telling you, with what I do with duck hunting and scouting and watching my daughter grow up, I'm just so thankful that I'm back to 20/15 in my right eye and 20/20 in my left eye, thanks to Dr. Matt Mills, who you've all heard on our podcast. But I want to protect my eyes, and that's exactly where one of our badass partners comes in. Oakley, Oakley Eyewear, the Oakley culture, the Oakley lifestyle. Protect your vision when you're shooting, when you're fishing. Nothing worse than getting a hook in the eye with somebody casting on the same boat. You just can't take it for granted. The damage the sun can cause, the rays, the UV, just keeping the dust and the dirt out of your eyes, just everything during a hunt, pit blind, boat blind, it doesn't matter, sun up. They make different lenses for different skies. They're sold all over the world, and they support the military and the Blue Line and conservation and hunting and fishing in the outdoors and living off the land. And we never hunt without our Oakleys. Everybody's like, why you always got your sunglasses on? Shouldn't be wearing sunglasses. You probably shouldn't in turkey hunting. I don't wear them in turkey hunting because of the vision of a turkey and the reflection. But when I'm shooting trap range or the sporting clays or the skeet or the five stand, or I'm in a duck hunt or a goose hunt, I have my Oakleys with me at all time. I put them in my banded backpack. I have them in an Oakley hard case. I keep them protected. The prism lenses, everything that goes in to the technology behind the Oakley brand and the frames, the function of them, all of the different lenses that you can get, like I mentioned, and the way they protect our eyes. The prism lens technology is second to none. You got to get a pair of Oakleys. I know there's a lot of choices out there when you want to protect your eyes, but remember, please support the brands that support this lifestyle. Oakley, the official eyewear of the Foul Life TV, the Foul Life podcast, and everything we do here at The Provider and Where the Pavement Ends. Thank you so much for supporting Oakley.
Welcome back to a special spring training episode of Jack Daniels Presents This Life Ain't For Everybody, the Breaking It Down edition, powered by Bad Boy Mowers and Tractors.
You hear the ball hitting the bat, the stadiums, the happy people. I mean, what a trip.
Dude, to sit in the stands when it's 75, 80, cold beer, it's just the best.
Greatest.
Chad and Alex look at some upcoming major league talent.
I enjoyed that breakout game.
Robbie is being touted as a guy that he's dominating, but think about how much better he has to be to dominate major league players.
And they get inside analysis from major league pitcher Walker Buehler on what it takes to make it in the big show.
When we were talking to Walker, he talks about scouting and knowing what to throw people. I think that's something that you get with some experience. Think when that starts kicking in with him, and he's going to be insane.
Thanks to Corning Ford, Oakley Sunglasses, Traeger Grills, and Lear Toppers for supporting This Life Ain't For Everybody. Now back to Chad and Alex.
I think that if you love sports, you owe it to yourself to go to spring training. I don't know if 5 days is 5 days too much?
It's probably a little too much.
Remember, most people don't do it like we do.
If you went there like as a traditional person and you played golf in the morning and then you went and had, you know, lunch,
1 o'clock
and then you
game.
Went and caught a 1 o'clock game and, you know, then you had a cocktail somewhere and dinner and went home at 9 o'clock. I could spend a month there.
Oh, yeah, easy, but we just don't do that.
But when you're talking about 4 in the morning till 1 in the morning, get up at, you know, 7, go eat, be at something at 10, be at a game at 1, be at another game at, you know, 6:05 or 7:05, then go to a bar, get home at 2, you know, to do that 5 nights in a row, you got to be seasoned.
Yeah, but you got to be driven too, because I don't know if John's seasoned, and John did it every night. It wasn't just the nighttime. I mean, I know that we went out a little bit to experience it, but we didn't go out hard. We were spent by going to that many games and watching that many innings of baseball and that many miles in an Uber. It's a lot of work. And I know that people would rent a car in that situation, but Uber works fine there.
Oh, yeah. I think it works fine. But, yes, you have to be driven. And that what a play on words. You have to be driven to just even do the travel we did. Do you know what I mean? Most people would look at that and go, I'm not going out to Surprise. It's an hour and 10 minutes. And that one night we did it was in trap when we saw the Royals play, was in traffic. We had to leave 2 hours early to get there by first pitch, which we did. Most people would have said, let's wait till traffic's over. We'll catch half a game, you know, whatever. But no.
Yeah. That sunset that night at that Royals game.
Oh, man. And the little bit of rain we got.
Every camera was in the air getting photos and video of that sunset.
Somebody, maybe it was you, posted a video or something. Yeah, you could just see everybody's cameras were out there. John was taking, everyone was taking pictures. It was beautiful. Little bit of weather we had, which, what a contrast from last year, you know, poured on us the entire time we were there last year.
That's one thing that you got to watch the weather and the extended forecast. I would not go in the rain again.
No.
It's just not a good time.
It's not.
Baseball's not meant for weather.
Dude, to sit in the stands when it's 75, 80, cold beer, it's just the best.
Greatest. All right, well, that was our spring training 2024 trip. We're looking forward to a great regular season baseball. I had Bill Jordan from Realtree Brand Camo on, the founder of the company, today, and we talked about Austin Riley, the Atlanta Braves. He is coming on the podcast tomorrow morning. Just had Walker on the podcast. That one will be releasing soon with his agent, Chris Glazier. I forgot you're on that podcast a little bit, too.
Yeah.
You and John were talking a little bit of smack.
Not smack.
No. I told Walker I'd take him deep.
I believe you did. More than
he
one time.
He said that I would not touch the ball. That I wouldn't even touch it.
He said, what's the Vegas money line? There's no way you could touch it.
Yeah, that's what he said. That was that clip in that little reel I just showed you. Is when he said that when he was sitting at the counter. Going to be a great season. I think that the Dodgers obviously are going to be good. They put a lot of money into it. Mets just signed J.D. Martinez. That's a good pickup. Phillies should be pretty good. Chicago Cubs could be good. Brewers could be good again. Mariners could be good this year. Royals are even going to be a lot better than they have been the last few seasons. I want them to get hot again. Rangers will probably be good again, I'm sure. Who else? Giants? They picked up some good players, and they just signed Smead. They're getting some good pitchers. Going to be a great season, Major League Baseball. Has anything changed in your life? You got to take the week off? Did you start a new job, and you took the week off last week?
Yeah, I got to go.
You got to roll? So is this telling us that there's been no changes in your professional journey?
I spent the entire last week with you in spring training.
purposely.
Well, what about the meeting yesterday morning? Was that about some new revenue streams?
Charity. It was Moms on the Run board meeting.
That's what I felt like all last week.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
I got the head baseball coach at University of Nevada, Reno baseball, Jake McKinley, coming on the podcast Friday in studio.
Really?
We're going to talk baseball strategy, athletics. These kids today, are they as tough as we were? Oh, I don't know if they're as tough. Spoiled.
You think he'll
answer
that
question? We're going to talk NIL. Oh, yeah, he'll answer. We're going to talk NIL. We're going to talk transfer portal, nutrition, everything that goes into it.
The new Dolan locker room.
New Dolan locker room.
What else are they working on up there? We sat. Oh, you didn't.
There
go
was
to
a rumor. There was a rumor that the A's would play some home games there.
Yeah, but we found out from the front office that day. There's no way, huh?
It kind of sounded like they weren't. Like they were going to go to Oaks, but either stay in Oakland or maybe Salt Lake City or maybe Sacramento, where the AAA team for the Giants plays. Yeah. That'd be a weird place to have it, though.
They should have got him at. Oh, I guess they can't go at the Diamondbacks facility, huh? The Aces ballpark, as it were, here.
Well, it'd be the same as going to the Giants AAA stadium, the River Cats, Sacramento.
You think that would be a decent spot for him to look at?
Yeah.
Don't forget, we have home opener, Giants.
Are you going?
I mean, you paid $263 for a ticket for me, which I appreciate.
Will Clark, will you please address this situation?
Trill?
Nope, I wasn't going to ask Trill for anything. Oh, he's going to be there, though. We get to see him.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not going to. You know how they get so hammered down with that stuff? Now, any other game, it's no problem, but opening day?
Opening day and last game, he's
What do you do? Busy. How does that day go? Tell me how that day goes. We're leaving early.
It's a 1:05 game.
Yeah.
We're leaving here at like 6.
Okay, that puts us there at 10.
Park the truck at the hotel.
Yeah. Valet it, get our bags in. I already talked to the general manager of the hotel about early check-in. If there's any rooms available, we got them. If not, we leave our bags at the front desk, all good.
And I mean, we either go to like Sears and eat breakfast in the Union Square, or we just go right to Momo's or one of the bars right there and just
have We're not drinking during that game. A 1 o'clock day? No, that's a weekday.
No.
And it's a 1 o'clock start. You do not drink then.
It's a Friday, which is basically weekend junior. We're on vacation.
Weekend junior.
We're on vacation.
We are?
Yeah.
How do you figure that's a vacation? Do you have to have a job to have a vacation?
No. You just have to get out of your own zip code. See, we go to Carson City and be on vacation.
So you're on vacation on that Friday on the home opener for the Giants.
Buddy, that's going to be a big one.
Is it?
Oh, my God. That place is going to be packed. 100% sold out, no doubt about it. And the buzz is going to be insane. Those people haven't seen their Giants in freaking 9 months or whatever.
I know.
They'll all be out.
You think Trill will be on the field?
Guaranteed.
You think he'll do BP down on the field in uniform?
I don't know if he will on opening day. I bet you they keep him pretty busy. Because I think they do a bunch of sales for boxes. Any of their boxes that were empty or whatever, they've had to resell. And now it's those people's first time. So they've send all their people because they want them to have a great time and rebuy the box next year.
Yeah.
So you figure he's probably got a bunch of meet and greet for that. Same with any big sponsors that they've hooked since last year that weren't there and haven't seen the park or, you know, gotten the full
good
tour.
Point.
So I bet you he's busy doing all that kind of stuff because they don't.
That's why he's there. I mean, I know he's going to be busy and I know he's got to work.
They just came out of spring training. They know what they need to see out of the players right now. They're doing the business.
And we got a new coach, which is so awesome in San Francisco. Yeah. Bob Melvin. Matt Williams is back.
Matt's back.
They're all standing for the national anthem.
Dude, we're going to get to see Matt's first big league game with the Giants back.
Coach in third. Yeah.
It's going to be big.
But no, I don't think we need to have a beer or do any of that.
Bloody Mary. We can go to breakfast instead if you want. Sears has a nice breakfast up there. Have some poached eggs, some white rice or something like that. What are you?
Where are we going? Okay, so then we watch the game. It gets over at 4:30 max.
I mean, we either go like the little bit of a nicer route and we go to like a restaurant and keep going, or we just go to like
that. Are you drawing this on your hand?
I'm following the streets, you know. We're going back up across from the bay. We either go to that little sports bar over there and have some dinner, tie one on. Yeah.
They got good food there. It's Mexican food. You know that. You talking about the place when you go in and go upstairs across the street from the stadium?
No. I'm talking about where we went with Will and Trey and...
Oh, that place awesome. Open season?
Yeah.
So that place got great food too. But the place right across the street,
Where you go up the stairs to the bar? Yeah, I knew that was Mexican food.
That place
never eaten there, but it's good.
Their Mexican food's great.
Momo's was good. That it'll be packed though after the game. Oh, but yeah. We could go to a ton of different places. But anything in that little vicinity of the ballpark that night is going to be hopping, dude.
We'll be a zoo Friday night,
and then we go to the Via rooftop bar, probably around 8:30.
It's a little early.
It seems a little early.
We're not going up there to party, though. We're going up there to just
get autographs and stuff. Yeah, see if any players come in there. I want to tie one on with Dave Dravecki this time.
Yeah?
I don't know. Will said he was fun.
For real?
Yeah.
I don't remember that conversation.
Remember we saw him coming? He came out of the elevator when we got there. I think that same trip that we went to.
I remember that, but I don't remember Will saying that.
Oh, yeah. He said he was there the night before.
I like the idea of opening day, but I don't think that we need to go down there with the mindset that you're going to need to tie one on.
I'm going
to
tie one on.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm going to try. It'll be like 3 weeks after spring training, dude. We'll be all recovered by then.
I haven't had a sip of alcohol since spring training.
Oh, neither have I.
Like, I had friends last night try to get me to do it, and I went and ate. And I had a chicken Caesar salad, dressing on the side, water, and a hot tea. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you're ordering a hot tea here? And I'm like, yeah. I feel great, but I'm not – I want to balance life. If I'm going to have times in my life where I party – because I'm not a drinker. I'm a partier. Like, I don't come home or go home or get home
and pour a cocktail.
And pour a cocktail and be like, way. I just don't do it. But when I'm social and I'm at spring training and I'm with my boys or I'm at a dinner in Nashville or a banquet, I party. Yep. And when I say party, I don't do drugs. I don't look for that. I don't, because a lot of people are like, but do you really party? And I'm like, partying to me is having some cocktails with friends and socializing.
Right.
I don't think that alcohol changes me. I don't get in fights. I don't get all sad and emotional. They say that alcohol, the real you comes out and the truth be told, you know? So I just try to stay as level-headed as possible, even when you are a little bit inebriated, which is a natural thing, but it's all about responsibility. You know, Jack Daniels is a title sponsor of the show, and it's all about responsibility of not going too far. Like that kid, you've been reading about this kid, this 22-year-old kid in Nashville, gets I guess he's hammered. He's visiting from the University of Missouri. He's at Luke Bryan's bar, the Bridge Bar, one of the bars there Luke Bryan has ownership in. Gets asked to leave, I guess, from the bouncers. Pretty much kicked out.
Right.
Then there's all these street video cameras that are picking him up. He gets separated from his group. 22-year-old kid, he's got a black and white shirt on. He's walking around. You see him with some people. Then he's kind of stumbling on the sidewalk. You never know what happened. 7-8 days later, they find him dead in the Cumberland River.
He fell in and
nobody knows. He was face down the river when somebody on the river found him. Wow. Did he get robbed and he tried to fight back? I don't have any idea. I haven't read enough. I don't want it to sound like I know what I'm talking about. I just know that they found his body in the Cumberland River.
Well, you know,
22 years old, goes over there to party in college and you're done.
Yeah.
Imagine his parents getting that phone call. You have to not let it take over. You can't get that. Maybe we've all been there. Maybe we've gotten lucky when we do go there. But you got to do your best to not get to the point to where you can't make solid decisions, like whether or not you should drive, whether or not you should separate from your group, whether or not you just go walking into strange areas that you really don't know what you're getting into. Like, alcohol is a serious, serious poison. And if you don't handle it correctly, like, it can poison your body. It can poison your brain. And you got to be responsible, right?
Definitely people that shouldn't do it. And that's what it's funny is like, you think that people would learn, right? You go overboard, you see what it does to you. I have friends that could tell you countless stories of things that they shouldn't have made it out of, you know what I'm saying? Drinking too much. Mm-hmm. I had a buddy that went to the house he no longer lived in and was sitting there eating a bowl of cereal when the homeowner walks out of his bedroom and see, you know.
No.
Yeah.
He's in his old house eating cereal like he owned the place still? Yeah.
But think about
didn't get shot?
I was going to say, in Nevada, that guy could have shot him.
Yeah.
If that guy was confused and all of a sudden there's just some strange man in his living room, boom, you're done.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's...
Because of alcohol.
Yeah. You know, there was a couple kids that passed away when I was up at UNR. One girl fell in Manzanita Lake and drowned. And they don't know if she fell in or if her friends...
Is that the little lake on campus?
Yeah. Maybe she was dared to go in there and whatever. There was another guy that...
Too drunk to swim.
Yeah. There was another guy that his friends thought he passed out and he had died of alcohol poisoning and they drove all around town with him in the back seat thinking he was passed out and he was dead.
No.
Yeah.
God,
I got busted with a fake ID here when I was in college and I had to go to a Mothers Against Drunk Driving panel and that guy's mom was there.
Yeah. You just got to...
Got to be responsible.
You know, I'm a dad. My daughter, I want to teach her responsibility because you can't ever have the mindset, well, they're not going to go out and party. They're not going to go out and drink. They're going to go away and they're going to do things. And that 22-year-old kid away from college is just ruined the rest of... He's gone. His family's life is ruined. His friends probably feel guilty for not keeping him. Yep. I mean, there's all these things that can happen because of... And hey, when you go to Nashville, you party.
It's what it is, man.
But you got to control it no matter who you are, no matter how old you are. You do a ton of shots and cocktails and beers flowing all day long. It will mess you up.
Well, and unfortunately, the youth today, they don't view drugs the same that we did. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of them are mixing.
Well, I don't think that. I think that you said it best one time is that nobody fears God anymore.
Yeah, that too.
I didn't do drugs because my dad put the fear of God in me.
Dude.
My mom and dad did.
I didn't want to disappoint my dad. You know, I didn't. If I were to have gotten caught.
I've never been tempted to do drugs because of the fear of God putting in me. I've never been like, oh, man, I wonder what cocaine smells like. I've you've been around weed and that smell. I've never even touched marijuana. Never done an edible. Like, never in my life. So, like, the fear of God stopped me from ever craving that or wanting to experiment or anything. Hmm. Not that God would judge me for it, but my dad put the fear of God in me, and there's not very many God-fearing human beings anymore as far as, you know, up-and-comers.
Yeah.
I just don't think they're held responsible or accountable.
To think, you know, when we were young, heroin, you know, was the thing, right?
You went straight to heroin.
No, with all the bands and stuff.
You went straight to heroin.
No, I've never done that.
As you were walking Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles, Sunset. Everybody's trying to give you black tar.
Exactly. But could you imagine sticking a needle in your arm when you were...
No.
When we were kids?
No. Absolutely.
I could never do that.
Dude. No.
Yeah.
But they do nowadays, I don't even know. Man. I don't know what meth looks like.
No.
I know it's prevalent. Now they're talking fentanyl. When we were down in Scottsdale, you heard people talking about drugs out in the open. Like it was just recreational, everyday stuff. And it has in some ways. Mushrooms being made legal in different states. I think Oregon, Washington, Colorado.
Marijuana's legal pretty much everywhere.
Like,
well, in Portland, all Schedule I drugs are legal. Or not. They're non-prosecuted anymore, whatever they said. So they're allowed to do
heroin,
whatever they want. Yeah.
Isn't that nuts? That's crazy. Gross.
It is. And they say it's had the adverse effect. They thought it was going to...
Yeah, now they're asking to go...
Now they got to reel it back. Good luck telling the junkies they can't have their junk without being in trouble anymore.
Good luck. That was a good way to end. We went from saying we drank too much to talking about how bad drinking can be if you don't keep control, but it's 100% true. Like, we've also had this talk, though, of like sober October, sober, you know, going 30 days. There's the hard set, 75 hard, where 75 days with no alcohol.
Oh, there's a podcast, if you look it up, where you and I said we were taking this May off.
What did we challenge each other? We challenged something about waking up or going to bed or something.
We did the phone thing.
Phone thing, not looking
at
our phone.
But we said we would never do January, February.
Let me think about May.
March, because we said spring training. Then we're like, April, you're going turkey hunting. And then we said May, and we thought, both of us could take May off.
God, I got Clay's birthday. I got two nights of Luke Combs and Cody Jinks.
Oh, you're over right there.
I got turkey camp in Wisconsin. The president of one of our big sponsors, that's my first time in camp with him, so I don't even know what to expect. But let's say that's the deal. Let's say I haven't been in camp with this man. He is the president and CEO of one of my big sponsors here, our sponsors. You get to camp with him, and he wants to have a whiskey on the rocks to celebrate our friendship and our courtship and our partnership and whatever that is. Is a courtship a man and a woman only?
Courtship is not the right word there yet.
That wasn't the right word. But I caught myself.
Well.
if I'm not careful, I could end up in court. But what if he wants to have a whiskey? Would I be like, no, I can't do it? Because me and you made a deal, or do I lie to you? I can't lie because I have too much of a conscience.
We don't have like a bet out there or anything. We just thought we would do it.
We're disciplining ourselves.
Right. It's easy. You go, hey.
I just named four things.
Hey, sir, thank you for the great courtship, but I'll have a water with a slice of lemon in it, please. I don't drink. I'm not drinking in May.
Or a cold brew.
I 100% do not want to take May off, so I'll just let
this Do you have
out.
Anything in May?
Yeah, everything. Cinco de Mayo, every Friday I like to have a beer. I mean,
Cinco de Mayo is a good one.
Oh, yeah.
A skinny margarita.
Mm-hmm.
John told me last night that he closed a huge deal yesterday. And John, who, if anybody was wondering, was with us in spring training. He said, I'm not drinking until the cruise. I am not drinking. So Saturday when we're leaving, we did not have one drink since Friday night. We all decided that day. John's like, I am not drinking till the cruise. Well, when's the cruise? April 23rd. Okay, so you got 3.5 weeks. Not even an hour later at the airport, he gets a tequila at the bar.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude. He's like, well, I meant after today. So last night he tells me that it took everything he had not to have a celebratory margarita with a fine tequila when he got home after closing a big deal.
I went to dinner last night, Italian, and they ordered a bottle of wine, and I said, no thanks.
You had none?
None.
Really?
None. Like you said, I had a salad for dinner. Just trying to right the ship, you know? It's all about balance.
That's why we're not drinking at Opening Day Giants.
Well, I am.
Dude, those are going to be like $21 beers in San Francisco.
Yeah. They're $15 in Arizona. They're $25 in Vegas, so.
Things are getting expensive.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Breaking it down. Chad Belding, Alex Crosby. This Life Ain't For Everybody. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you for the downloads and subscriptions, telling friends and family about the podcast. Please listen to new episodes of our sister podcast, Jennifer and Brittany's 40 Years to Freedom, Anna V's American Wing Shooting, Alex Crosby, Clay Belding, and Clint Belding on Where the Payment Ends, myself on This Life Ain't For Everybody right here, and the Foul Life podcast. We're excited for new episodes. Got a lot of great guests coming up, musicians, military. I got a fighter pilot coming on. I have some commercial pilots coming on. I got a cardiologist coming back on, Rob Knatzer from Sierra's Strength and Speed is coming back on. I got Jake McKinley from UNR, Walker Buehler, Los Angeles Dodgers, Austin Riley. Our Uncle Mel Belding is making appearances on Where the Payment Ends. There's a lot of great topics, conversations, instruction, just a bunch of stuff that's fun to hear. We hope you're loving it. If you want to send us a message, info@thislifeaintforeverybody.com. Tell us what you want to hear. Tell us some guests you want to hear on here. Thank you so much to all of our sponsors, especially Jack Daniel's Tennessee Sour Mash Whiskey. Every drop of Jack Daniel's is made in Lynchburg, Tennessee at the Headquarter Distillery. Enjoy it responsibly. Never allow underage drinking, and check out the barrel program. We're going to participate. There's another reason right there, Crosby.
Gotta go to
May,
the
I'm doing barrel selections in Lynchburg. And I'm going to a Morgan Wallen concert. How am I going
to
do this in May?
You agree.
Check out the barrel program at jackdaniels.com. Thank you, Jack Daniels. Enjoy it responsibly. Never, ever allow underage drinking. Stay safe out there, my friends, my family, my American patriots. Got a big vote coming up in November. We know what the right thing to do is. We need our country to be stabilized, stronger, in my opinion. Not going to get on a soapbox. I truly appreciate all of you for being here. Thank you, Alex, for being here. Peace out.
Cash in those vacation days. It's time to take in a game.
Don't forget, we have home opener, Giants.
Are you going?
It's a Friday, which is basically weekend junior. We're on vacation.
Weekend junior.
We're on vacation.
We are?
Yeah.
How do you figure that's a vacation? Do you have to have a job to have a vacation?
No, you just have to get out of your own zip code.
Listening to Jack Daniels presents This Life Ain't For Everybody, powered by Bad Boy Mowers and Tractors, Work With an Attitude, plus Mickey Thompson Tires, Flask App, and Gator Coolers. Thanks for listening. Chad and Alex will be right back.
I think lighting is everything. I don't like being in the dark. I don't even like secrets being told. That's kind of keeping you in the dark, isn't it? I don't like setting up decoys in the dark. I don't like looking for anything in the dark. Turn your headlights and drive down the street. Obviously, it's impossible. Lighting is everything. A well-lit room, a well-lit hunt. They make your decoys look better when that sun's shining on them. Mallards perform different, and we perform better and differently when we have our rigid light bars, all of the rigid lights on our trailer, when we can see what we are doing, setting up our blinds, concealing our blinds, setting up our spread, exact distance from a fence or a tree line that we want to be. When you can brighten up the night, brighten up those early mornings, I'm telling you, it makes your hunting success go way up. The odds are in your favor when you put Rigid on your trucks, in your bumpers, in your light bars. Check them out at rigidindustries.com. I can't say enough about their LED technology. It is the best. It's often imitated but never duplicated. I know you've heard that before, but there is nothing like Rigid lights. R-I-G-I-D. You'll find them on all of our Corning Ford Fords, all of our rigs, all of our trailers, on the noses, on the sides, on the back door. When we turn on our lights on our trucks and trailers, we ignite the field and we ignite the hunt. And that's exactly what Rigid Industry does. It ignites our passion for the outdoors. The official LED light bar and lights of the Foul Life podcast and Benelli's The Foul Life TV. See them in action right now, exclusively on the Outdoor Channel. Brand new episodes, season 15 of Benelli's The Foul Life. Thank you so much, Rigid. And thank you all for supporting the brands and partners that support us. We've talked about the Western lifestyle so much here when it comes to rodeo, when it comes to quarter horses, when it comes to ranching, when it comes to farming, conservation, hunting, fishing, outdoors, family, friends, memories, culture, reminiscing, the stories, the campfires. We love it all. We've brought you American Almond Beef. We've brought you Buck and Bull, and now we bring you Cowboy Choice. Are you a horse lover? Are you into rodeo? Are you into trail riding? Are you into ranching? Are you into farming? Horses are America. We love horses. We love everything about them, and Cowboy Choice is the ultimate blend of food to keep your horses healthy, strong, their energy levels up, and most importantly, keeping them happy through their entire time on earth. Again, horses are part of our family. They're part of our everyday life. And we live it every day at Cowboy Choice. So when you're in your retailer, ask them, do you carry Cowboy Choice? Because a lot of them are starting to. It will be the number one horse feed on the market in the next 2 years. Mark my words, it's Cowboy Choice. It's the best horse feed we have ever seen results out of. We tested it for over 18 months before we went to market with it. The effects that it's had on horses, the performance that we've seen out of horses that are eating the Cowboy Choice on a daily basis are head and shoulders above anything we've ever witnessed or experienced. Cowboy Choice, the official horse feed of the Fowl Life Podcast. You can find it at your nearest feed store, pet store, ranching store. Cowboy Choice, thank you all so much for trying it. We know you're going to make the transition. Thank you all so much for supporting Cowboy Choice horse feeds. We travel a lot. We're up and down America's highways, byways, thoroughways, cornfields, dirt roads, back roads, country roads. Love seeing that dust in our rear view. Love looking over and seeing the sunset, the sunrise, mallard ducks pitching in to a pond in Kansas, a coyote howling in Wyoming, an antelope standing on the side of the road in Nevada. We get to do this all through Ford trucks. Corning Ford, Paul, Francis, the entire crew, the customer service, the service department, the selection, the dedication to excellence and quality. The number one Ford Super Duty dealer in the Western United States 5 years in a row. They're in the top 10 in the country, and they're in a little tiny town, Corning, California. 5,000 people deep maybe, but the construction, the farming, the ranching, the almonds, the walnuts, the olives, the duck hunting, the fishing, the deer hunting and turkey hunting, predator hunting, you name it. Corning Ford is part of it. They support our lifestyle, their pricing. They refuse to mark them up. Give them a try. They'll deliver your truck anywhere in the country. They've delivered them to Alaska, Florida, so many to Nevada, so many to Northern California, all over Arizona and Colorado. They've delivered three to Tennessee. They delivered one to Minnesota to our friend Andrew at Wild Acre Kennels. It's Corning Ford. They support the outdoors, and there's nothing better than a Ford truck. These 2023 Ford Super Duties, F-250s, F-350s, the long bed, the short bed, the Tremor package. Watch your speed. Set that cruise control, because sometimes you'll look down and be like, I'm not going that fast. Something's got to be broken. And you're pulling a trailer, and you got a leered topper on the back of it. The bed of your truck is full. They're meant for hauling. They're meant for towing. Thank you, Francis. Thank you, Paul. There's nowhere better in the country to buy your next Ford vehicle or Ford Super Duty truck than Corning Ford. Thank you all for supporting them.
This episode of Breaking It Down is in the books.
All right, well, that was our spring training 2024 trip. We're looking forward to a great regular season baseball. Breaking It Down, Chad Belding, Alex Crosby, This Life Ain't For Everybody. Thank you all so much for listening. I truly appreciate all of you for being here. Thank you, Alex, for being here. Peace out.
Be sure to subscribe so you can listen to every episode of Jack Daniels Presents This Life Ain't For Everybody, the Breaking It Down edition, powered by Bad Boy Mowers and Tractors on SoundCloud, iHeart, Spotify, and thislifeaintforeverybody.com. Thanks for tuning in. Tell your friends, and always break it down. Down.